It was that name that saved us from the sin we were drowning in. He is worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was that name that has saved my life, and it has saved yours. And I'm so thankful to be able to be in the house of the Lord with you. David said, I rejoice when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that grabs my attention because you have a choice. You can choose to hear what the preachers say when they say it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. And you can rejoice, or at the minimum, just get some joy out of it. No? Tough crowd. Rejoice means that you find something in your spirit that tells you, I'm happy to do it again. I'm excited to do it again. I expect God to move again. I rejoice when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not your favorite stadium, not your favorite football team, basketball team. The house of the Lord is where the miracles can be found. The house of the Lord is where the healings can be found. The house of the Lord is where God does some wonderful things to save the souls. I'm not preaching yet. I'm just trying to warm up my throat. I'm a little affected. Allergies got the hold of me, but we're trying. The congregation's been praying for me, and if I can, I'm going to do my best to preach it all the way out without getting too hoarse. And if you see me take a drink of water because I'm thirsty, it's because my throat is dry. So don't get mad. If you see me drink, you just pop it up there. I want to give honor to the men of God that are here. I am so honored to be here with them. I honestly feel like a nurse in a doctor's convention. Tough crowd. You guys got to preach like this on the regular? Man. I am honored to have the privilege of being here with you tonight. I honor every minister that's in the house, our pastors' wives, and I honor the men of God that are here on the platform, and I honor the pastor of the church, the host church, and you saints that are here. Again, it's a privilege for me to be here with you on this Sunday. I had someone tell me, I remember when we used to have service in the morning and then come back and have revival at night. How you feeling about it now? Somebody got excited about it. I'm very excited to be here with you. If my throat gives out, y'all pray for me. If I have to whisper this, the rest of the sermon, I will. If you could find your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, very well-known verse, Matthew 16 and verse 17. Matthew 16 and 17. When you have us, amen, like you ate, you must have not eaten. Say amen like you ate. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Today, if you allow me, I'd like to preach under this topic, a remnant with a revelation. Let's pray. Lord, I ask in this moment, in this hour, that you would prepare the hearts and the minds of your people. We are good soil, Lord God, and we ask that the good seed of your word find that good soil and produce great fruit, Lord, that would go from generation to generation, from bloodline to bloodline, Lord Jesus, and until you return, let us be fervent about winning the least, the last, and the lost. Help us remember our commission. Help us remember our covenant with you. And help us, Lord God, live within the confines of your word so we can be light in the darkness. And we ask this in Jesus' holy and righteous and precious name. Can you say amen? Can you clap your hands unto the Lord right where you are and give him some praise that he is worthy of? I said give him some praise like he's worthy. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. And while you're seating, do me a favor and just smile at your neighbor like you know something they don't. You know, like you got that paycheck that's about to come in and you're going to pay all your bills and still have a little bit of money left over for some vacation money, you know? Yes, smile once in a great while. Even if you're not, you got to fake it till you make it, if I can say it that way. But there's some times where we have to smile in the midst of turmoil and frustrations and anger and resentment and all kinds of things that humans go through. We have to learn how to show our face to the world and then through time demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Now today I'd like to just talk a little bit about what a remnant is and how important it is to have a revelation as part of that remnant. Because you can be part of a remnant, but be missing the most important part, the revelation. You can say, I'm part of the one percenters, the few and the proud. And if you're not careful, the movement of God can pass you by because we are in a place of being distracted. There are a lot of things that try to grab our attention. There are a lot of things that try to spoil our perspective and try to give us a desire or maybe even a reason to go an opposite way than what the Word of God says. But if we can stand firm, if we can stand strong, Paul says, with all things, stand. We have to have a very firm belief in who it is that has saved us. And we have to be amongst the redeemed that aren't afraid to say so. So there are moments in history when God begins moving in a way that cannot be explained by natural circumstances. There are seasons when heaven begins to accelerate its agenda while the earth seems to be falling apart. You ever been around some of that? There are times when God positions his people on the edge of something so significant that if they are not spiritually discerning, they will miss the very thing that they've been praying for. I don't want to miss that opportunity. I believe we're living in one of those moments now, here and now. Touch your neighbor and say, now. I would always tell the congregation, give your neighbor a high five, but I'm afraid they're going to miss. And I'm going to get sued for somebody having a fat nose. See, the world sees instability. The world sees confusion. The world sees moral decline. The world sees uncertainty. But heaven, everybody say heaven. Heaven, in the midst of all that, sees a harvest. The church must be careful that we do not interpret or misinterpret the times through the lens of fear, while God is interpreting the times through the lens of opportunity. You're probably saying to yourself, all I can see is chaos all the way around me. But God is saying, I'm just preparing the soil so that when you go out and you say, I need you to come to church with me, we're living in the last days, they'll be receptive and say, yes. See, the enemy wants us focused on the darkness, but God wants us focused on the harvest. Because darkness never intimidated our God. When there was darkness, he said, let there be. You didn't hear me. See, you're thinking I'm talking about the moon and the stars. I'm talking about you. When there was darkness, he said, let there be. And I believe that there's some light in the house today. I believe that there's some light in your job places, amongst your family, amongst your friends, amongst your peers. I believe there's some light in our society. And that light is the remnant of God that refuses to be still, refuses to be quiet, refuses to say the same. Darkness simply creates a greater opportunity for the light. It's nothing to be intimidated by. It's nothing to be afraid of. Even if you're a little bit insecure and you have to sleep with a nightlight. Anybody sleep with a nightlight? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. The darkness is meant to be intimidating. But we serve a God that's greater than any intimidation you could face. The darker that Egypt became, the brighter Goshen appeared. The darker that Babylon became, the more Daniel stood out. The darker Rome became, the more powerful the apostolic church became. God has never needed favorable conditions to produce revival. He can do it when he wants, how he wants, and whoever who he wants to. He only needs a people who can see what he is doing. And that's what revelation actually is. Being able to pick your head out of the sand and look around. Where can I be effective? Where can I do something to increase the kingdom of God? See, revelation allows you to see beyond what everybody else sees. When Jesus stood at Caesarea Philippi, every disciple had the same opportunity that Peter had. They all heard the same sermons. They all witnessed the same miracles. They all walked with the same Jesus. But only Peter received the revelation. Only Peter was allowed to see beyond the shell and into the glory. Jesus asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And immediately the answers start coming. Some say you're Elias, others say you're Jeremiah, and some say that you're one of the prophets. And you know, if you can only identify Jesus by those things, that's all he'll ever be to you. Don't put limits on that great name. Don't put limits. Don't attach your culture. Don't attach your preconceived ideas. Don't attach your past to something that is so great. Don't try to put him in a box because he's greater than your situation. He's greater than your... I don't know who I came to preach to today, but I want you to know this is the season and you're the reason for this season. God has plans for you. God wants to use you. He will perform his good work and his good pleasure in your life. Then Jesus looked at them and asked the question that changed everything. He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter stepped forward and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living," not the dead, not the made up, not the mythical, the living God. Jesus immediately responded and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee." That means you can't get these revelations from your mama and them. You can't get this kind of revelation unless you have a nice little email or an email, should I say, with the Lord. You got to know his email address. Sometimes we get caught up in just doing the routines of everyday apostolic living. But we haven't been called to be mundane or routine. We've been called to do greater things in the Lord. We've been called to do greater works. We've been called to go above and beyond. We've been called to be a peculiar people. See, Peter, what Jesus was saying to Peter is, you didn't get this from education. You didn't get this from public opinion. You didn't get this from human reasoning. Heaven showed you this. And Jesus makes an astonishing declaration, and he says, upon this rock I will build my church. I want you to notice the sequence of it. First, the revelation came before the construction began. God will always reveal before he builds, because God never builds anything significant on ignorance. He only builds on revelation. Tell your neighbor, revelation. Noah built an ark because of revelation. Abraham left Ur because of revelation. Moses confronted Pharaoh because of revelation. David faced Goliath because of revelation. The apostles turned the world upside down because of revelation. Whenever God prepares a people for harvest, he gives them a revelation first. See, the world can call you and I fanatics. The world can call us extreme. It can call us radical. But eventually, everyone will discover that we are hearing from God while others are listening to the popular culture of the time. See, the remnant has always been about a people who saw something before someone else saw it. They believed before someone else moved. You ever been around something? Let me just use it this way. Let's see how many people respond. I'm going to give you a $1,000 check. No big deal. $10,000. Oh, my preacher's already said, I got it. Nobody's moved over here. I'm looking at you, but I want him to know, by if we're going to go from 1,000 to 10,000, we're going to go from 10,000 to 100,000. Will anybody get up and say yes? It's not a trick question. What do you got to do to receive it? You figure money would be the motivator, because any other time in our world, money is the motivator. And if you're promised a sincere amount, you will do, you will stand there for you. Yo, I'll take that. Free money? You talking about free money? Yeah, you don't got to pay it back, nothing. It comes with no stipulations, no strings, no taxes. Thank you, whoever said that. It's tax-free money. Do I have any takers in the house today? Oh, now we got a few. If we know the value of money, we should also know the value of the name of Jesus. With the same inspiration, with the same emotion, with the same significance, when we hear the name that's above every other name, we should stand to our feet and say, yes, Lord. You took me when I couldn't help. When I couldn't handle anything in the world, you took me when I was down and out. You took me when I had nothing else in my life. You took me when nobody believed in me. You took me. And now that you have valued me, now I want you to know I value too. I value you in return, and I praise you like you're the most valuable thing in my life. I praise you because you're the most significant thing in my life. I praise you because you've been too good for me to sit still or be quiet. I praise you because you are... Please sit down. You're making me nervous. I came to preach. I didn't come to start a revolution. I wish I had revolutionaries in here. Revolutions for the kingdom of God. People that will not back down or stay quiet in the face of opposition. People that know how to stand. See, I know you don't want to be extreme, but can I say this to my pastors up here? Some of you know me, some of you don't, some of you are getting to know me. But if you were here, or if I was at your church or you were at mine, I would say if you're in on the pulpit, you're a safe person. Would that be fair? Okay. The reason I'm saying that, my brothers, is because they're looking at me like I have something to prove. Rather than receiving the word, rather like David said, you're trying to be skeptical. You're trying to ask yourself, wait, is he worth my listening to? If I'm up here, I've been vetted. If I'm up here, it's because God has a plan. If I'm up here, it isn't because of me. I'm up here because we need to understand that there's a remnant, and that remnant can only move under the revelation. How many know that in heaven, although there will be no color, we won't all come from the same place? You didn't hear me. If you don't like my skin color, maybe my look, and maybe my skin color or my age or whatever like that, don't be worried about me. I'm not here to bite you. I bark more than I bite. That's why I've been called to preach, because I'm a barker. So don't worry about me. I'm not going to take advantage of it. If I say something I shouldn't, these three will stand up. I said, if I say something I shouldn't, those three will say, hey, they'll go, don't worry. Praise him like you know who he is. Praise him like you know what he's done for you. Don't get quiet on the things of God. I didn't come to tell you some deep revelation, but I want you to know the revelation is an understanding that we are one in the body. We are one. I'd like to share one of the characteristics of a remnant with a revelation. See, they see the harvest in places where others see hopelessness. When Jesus looked across the multitude, he didn't see problems. He saw potential. He didn't see failures. He saw future disciples. He didn't see addicts. He saw deliverance. He didn't see brokenness. He saw restoration. He said, The harvest truly is plenteous. Don't worry about me. I got my own corner that the Lord is asking me to till. Are you hearing me? You till your side and I'll till mine. Don't worry about me. I got plenty. I got my hands full. I want you to notice that he didn't say the harvest would someday become plenteous. He said it was already plenteous. The harvest was present. The problem was not the harvest. The problem was the laborers. Can I tell you one of the greatest needs in North America is not, or one of the greatest things in North America is not more sinners. We got plenty of sinners in the world. The greatest need are laborers with a revelation. People who can walk into the city and see possibilities. People who can walk into a neighborhood and see revival. People who can walk into a workplace and see souls that need to be saved. People who can walk into the school and see a future outpouring. See, the world wants us to see chaos, but I want you to know, you as the remnant, you see opportunity. Change your perspective. Change the way you view things. Don't let the negativity of the people around you influence you. You be the light in the midst of the darkness. The world will always see decline, but the remnant will always see harvest. The world sees darkness, but the remnant sees a field that is white already on the harvest. This is why we can't become professional critics. The church was never called to analyze darkness. the church was called to introduce light. If we spend our time talking about how bad the world is, then we would forget who it is that's called us. See, we're the church, and we're supposed to carry the answer. How many know what the answer is? All right, thank you. I got a couple people that must. I don't know how old you are, young man over there, but he's got a voice that I wish younger people had. Jesus is the answer. You're right. It sounds cliche, but it's very powerful. The reason I'm preaching to you today is because someone your age reached me and told me Jesus is the answer. To me, when I was lost, that was not cliche. That was world changing. When I didn't have it all together and I thought it was of no use, someone introduced me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm the result of somebody believing that they had a message worth sharing. I'm the result of somebody that said, I don't know what you're about and I don't know where you're going, but I believe there's a... See, the church has the answer. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Ghost, and we have the name above every name. We have the truth that set men free. You got to remember that. Don't minimize what God has armored you with. A remnant with a revelation also understands the necessity of oil. Everybody say oil. Because anybody can get excited, but not everybody can endure. The difference between the wise and the foolish virgins was not their attendance. They all attended, but not everybody had expectation. They were expected to be there, but not everybody could keep their eyes open in that season. They were lacking the most important thing that they came supposedly prepared for. Oil. Everybody say oil. The remnant understands that revival cannot be sustained by talent alone. Talent is wonderful, but talent is not oil. Programs are useful. We should have those. But programs are not oil. Technology is beneficial, but technology is not oil. You're making me work too hard for a man that's got a bad voice. Marketing may attract people, but marketing cannot save people. We have to be the ones that roll up our sleeves, undo our necktie, and get our hands dirty. We got to be more than people that invite people to church. We have to become disciplers of the people that we invite. Don't wait for the pastor and his family to do the work. If you invite them, you take care of them. You develop them, you disciple them, you get them ready for the kingdom of God. It's interesting to me that we are in a society where if you can have a child and leave it at a doorstep of somebody's random house and let them raise them. But the church is not that. If you bring them to the church, don't let the pastor preach them. You better be in their ear as they're coming through the door, and you know, and you start. I've seen some people, they bring somebody in, and they're just in their ear. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand what I'm talking. Come here, Brother Klein, for a minute. I'm inviting him, and people that really know the value of a soul won't just let anybody touch the new baby. If you did all the work to make sure he or her or them came through the door, you got to keep responsible with what it is that God has given you. And what I'm saying is that when you start walking to the door, I want to see you walk through the door with your mouth in their ear. preparing the soil to receive. Thank you, sir. Preparing their soil to say God is going to do the miraculous in your life. He's going to restore you. He's going to give you back your sanity. He's going to give you what you need. Don't think that winning a soul is a waste of time. It is not a waste of your time. It is an addition to the kingdom. How many know that the church has always advanced on the pure strength of the Holy Ghost? We only get point A to point B because God is involved. Paul coins it the best way, and he says, I can do all things. When it says all things, does not mean everything. Just because I have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean I can take a basketball and dunk. When it says all things, it is referring to what the kingdom of God requires. You can preach. You can teach. You can teach a home Bible study. You can get involved. You can help the preachers preach. Don't sit up here and help me. Listen to me. I'm about to lose this in about two or three more minutes, okay? And I'm not saying it prophetically, but I need you to preach with me. I'm so glad there was an upper room season. And that upper room season changed the world that you and I know. Why did it change the world that you and I know? It's because it was full of oil. Acts 2 did not happen because of strategy. It happened because people prayed until heaven responded. The reason the apostolic church shook cities is because they possessed oil. Paul did not transform regions through personality. He transformed regions through anointing. And that's what I mean by the oil. You got to sit under the wellspring. Don't do anything without having prayed about it first. If you want to find success, good intentions are not good enough. We got to seek the face of God. We have to seek it with diligence. We have to continue to stay faithful to what God has called it to be. And if he tells you to do a thing, do the thing that he asks you to do. Somewhere along the way, the modern church became fascinated with methods. But God is still fascinated with oil. The answer for this generation is not better branding. The answer is it's still the Holy Ghost. The answer is still prayer. The answer is still consecration. The answer is still fasting. The answer is still worship. The answer is still a good, vibrant altar. The answer is still found in the power of God. See, we need some saints that know how to pray until heaven moves. We need some worshipers that care more about his presence than they care about people's opinions. We need some preachers who rather have anointing than applause, because the harvest requires oil. Come on and praise him. Praise him like you know. Come on and shout Jesus. We're a church of the name. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to call on the name of the Lord. Please be seated. A remnant with revelation also becomes a people of possession rather than a people of observation. Caleb in the Bible is 85 years old. When he decides to ask for the mountain. Most people his age are looking for comfort, a place of retirement. But Caleb is looking for conquest. Most people are slowing down, but Caleb is speeding up. Most people are talking about what they used to do, and Caleb would be talking about what's going to happen and what he's going to do. He would declare, give me this mountain. Stop trying to move the mountain in your life with your faith. I'm going to get a little bit in trouble here, okay? I'm going to mess with people's theology. See, now, how many believe that faith moves mountains? Jesus said that, correct? So we're on the same page. So don't get nervous. Y'all can pull on me if something, I say something wrong, okay? But how many of you ever moved with your faith Mount Everest? Hey, how about your mom and them? They ever move faith mountains with their faith? No. Nobody wants to raise their hand and tell me how your grandma, because, you know, when I was growing up, they always said my grandmother was the greatest prayer warrior. Nobody? Do you really believe that he was trying to set you up for failure, or do you think that he was trying to give you an illustration? There's some things that you can overcome with the right attitude. Instead of saying the mountain is going to move because I say so, you have to have the belief enough to say, give me this mountain. Instead of saying move, say, I'll conquer it. Come here. No, come here. I'm not afraid of you. We need people that are not afraid to face opposition, is my point. We need people that aren't afraid to till the soil. We need people that aren't afraid to spread the seed of the gospel. We need people who aren't going to be deterred because somebody tells you, no, I don't believe. We need some people in our faith is something that you have to do some things. But if you're going to move this mountain, you have to have the kind of proclamation where you can say, give me this mountain. Again, that's not a big revelation, so I can't get in too much trouble. And if I say something your congregation doesn't believe, please send me your complaints on $100 bills. I will gladly receive them. I'm not coming here to get in trouble. I just want to say there's some things that you got to be determined to see through, no matter how difficult things can be. I absolutely love the spirit that Caleb had. He doesn't ask for easier territory. He asked for bigger territory. He doesn't ask for comfort. He asks for conquest. Why? Because revelation will always take or change your perspective. When you have revelation, giants no longer intimidate you. You stop asking whether revival is possible and you start asking how fast we can get there. You stop measuring the obstacles and you start measuring God's faithfulness in your life. The remnant understands that promises are not in our lives for decoration alone. So you can say, oh, look, the Lord promised me that. Promises are invitation to get involved. You didn't hear me. Hey, don't tell me that you have a promises from God in your life if you have no process. If you're not in the process, you have no promise. If you're sitting there idly by, you have no promise. But if you can get involved, I said if you can get involved, don't talk about it, be about it. There are families waiting for you. There are prodigals waiting for you. There are cities that are waiting for you. There are communities that are waiting for you. There are people who have no idea who God is, and they are waiting for you. And I want you to know God is drawing them to you because he has plans with you. He can't. Nobody else is going to evangelize them but you. So stop looking around because I'm not talking to everybody else. I need you to take your index finger, stop looking up, and stop pointing up. Start pointing in. Start saying, I'll do it, Lord. Send me. Use me. Help me. Trying to give my throat a little bit of time to not seize up on me. The remnant does not admire promises alone. The remnant possesses the promises. Every remnant must resist compromise. We have to learn when somebody's trying to sow some seed of tares with the wheat. Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, convinced that he was alone. He thought truth was losing. He thought compromise had won. He thought revival was over and finished. But God said and reminded him, I have 7,000. I said, I have 7,000. A remnant. People who refuse to bow. The names of the idol in our world now, the name of the idols have changed. But the pressure of the world remains the same. It wants you to bow to its culture. It wants you to bow to convenience. It wants you to bow to popularity. It wants you to bow to public opinion. It wants you to bow to compromise. But the remnant keeps standing in spite of the opposition. And I believe there's some people that are part of the remnant in this place. And if you are, clap your hands unto the Lord. Don't golf clap because I won't believe you. Give him a clap and a shout with a voice of triumph. A lot of people, when they think about the word remnant, think about leftovers. You're not a leftover. You're a separated. You've been chosen. You've been separated. He's called you unto himself to do a work. You're not a leftover. How many know that church truth is not determined by the culture? Truth is determined by God. The church was never called to mirror the culture it lives in. The church was called to confront the culture. The church was never called to blend into the darkness. The church was called to shine in the darkness. The church was never called to imitate the world. The church was called to transform it. The remnant remains steadfast because revelation produces conviction, and conviction creates courage. And it takes a courageous people to go and face strangers and say, I got some good news for you. I said, I got some good news for you. I didn't say it was so-so. I didn't say it was mediocre. I didn't say there's a strings attached. I said, I got some good news for you. You have to approach someone that does not know what you know with the same kind of confidence you have when you have information about your favorite football team, baseball team, basketball team, soccer. You ever been around someone that's a fanatic? How many know the stats about LeBron James? Don't shout. Who believes he's the GOAT? Don't shout. If I ask you about LeBron James after service, you'll give me stats because you think he's the greatest of all time. But GOATs aren't spelled G-O-A-T. GOATs are spelled L-A-M-B. I'm closing. Everybody say, thank God. I'm going to ask my musicians if they would come at this moment. And I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to turn down the heat because I see some heavy eyes. How many ever read the book of Revelation? How many know that the book of Revelation does not end with a defeated church? It ends with the victorious church. It's not hiding. It's victorious. It's not retreating. It's victorious. It's not just getting by and surviving. It's victorious. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And that's who we are. Everybody say, that's me. We're not victims of prophecy. We are participants of prophecy. We're not here to see how things are going to turn out. We know how things are going to turn out. And at the end of this whole thing, guess what? We win. There's no if, there's no and, there's no but. Joel saw this day and he rejoiced. Isaiah saw this day and he rejoiced. Ezekiel saw this day and he rejoiced. Peter preached about this day and he rejoiced. And we are now living in the day that they prophesied about. The question is not whether God is moving. The question is not whether or not we can see what God is doing. God always speaks and God always moves. Everybody in David's situation saw a giant. But David saw the victory. Everybody saw dry bones, but Ezekiel saw an army. Everybody saw Jesus, but only Peter saw the Christ. And now God is asking his people, who can still see? Who can still see revival? Who can still see the harvest? Who can still believe God for the promises? Who can still see the purposes of God? Who can still see the hand of God moving in their generation? Because God is raising up a remnant that refuses to be distracted by the darkness. A remnant that refuses to be seduced by compromise. A remnant that refuses to surrender their oil. A remnant that refuses to stop believing. A remnant with a revelation. And when the remnant with revelation rises in a generation, harvest is never too far behind. Touch your neighbor and say, are you ready? You don't convince me. I said, touch your neighbor and ask them, are they ready? It's like when you're late for your appointment. I hate being late anywhere, never mind to an appointment. And I tell my wife from the bedroom or from the living room, and I go, hey, are you ready? I get anxiety because something's coming that I have to be at. The marriage supper. The rapture can happen. And we gotta be ready. Tell your neighbor, are you ready? We need some ready people in the house. We need some people that rejoice when they say unto them, I was glad. If you could at this moment, raise your hands right where you are. If you're going to raise your hand, you might as well raise them with the point of being able to say, yes, Lord. Surrender like somebody's got a gun to your chest and say, I'll do it. Give him everything. The doors of the altars are open. If you're going to come, be ready to work.
Why don't you go to somebody from that's not in your church and join with them, and let's pray together right now. Come on, let's let the spirit of unity take a hold of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.